Morning, y'all. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Gospel Way radio broadcast. We trust that you'll stay tuned now for the next 15 minutes as we bring you a portion of the infallible and inerrant Word of God. We're so thankful for those of you that listen each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on this radio station of the Gospel Way radio broadcast. And we trust that you'll tell others about the radio broadcast, that it might be a blessing to them. My name's Bradley Boone. I'm the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church. We're located 4.5 miles outside of Burnsville, North Carolina, on the Pensacola Road, right there at Tootie's Creek. We'd love to have you to enter all the service times. Our service times are as follows. Preaching is at 11 on Sunday, Sunday school at 10, Sunday night service at 6, and then our Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting, preaching services at 7. However, this month we're having our Super Tuesday services with different pastors from the area that are coming in to help us in the services. They're at 7 o'clock each night. We'd love to have you to enter all the services there at the Concord Baptist Church, particularly these Tuesday, Super Tuesday services. We'd love to have you. Then let me also mention our youth meeting, which is coming up on May the 27th. That's on a Sunday night, May the 27th. It's the third annual Yancey County Youth Rally, May 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. We'd love to have you there at the youth rally. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings and help on the radio broadcast. Maybe those that are listening today that are facing hardships of different kinds, we want to pray for you. And we'd ask that you pray for us, that God would use us, and that we would be obedient what the Lord had for us to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, God, for this open door of the radio. Lord, we pray, God, as it goes out over the airwaves today, Lord, that you would bless and help. God, I pray that you'd touch hearts, do that as only you can. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we're talking to you about getting desperate for the Lord. And we're talking out of the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Now, the Bible said there in Mark chapter number 7, and beginning our reading verse 24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." I love that phrase. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, how that he'd felt his, and heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he'd cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." We're talking about getting desperate for the Lord. And the sad fact of the situation in America's churches in the day and hour in which we live is that it's a situation of unconcern. If there was one word that we were going to use to describe the religious world, the church world today, it would be unconcerned. They have no compassion and they have no concern for what's happening around them. They're just going through the motions. They're in their place. They go to church, as I said on Monday of this radio broadcast. They go into church almost as a superstition. They almost treat God like a rabbit's foot in their pocket. It's something that they do out of habit. They're unconcerned. It's very rare that you find a Christian that's concerned these days about the condition even of their lost loved ones, much less desperate to see the Lord do something in their life. But here in Mark chapter number 7, we find a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, who is desperate for the Lord's help. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. We've looked at some things already this week by way of introduction. We've looked at the Lord's coming in verse number 24 and how that in that verse, the Lord put himself in such a place where he could be easily found by this Syrophoenician woman. Tyre and Sidon was the place where he was. Tyre and Sidon would be the last place that you would expect to find the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very pagan area. It was a place where you would not expect to see the Lord, but it's a place where he went. And it reminds me again of the woman at the well and how that he must needs go through Samaria, and that when there's a need, the Lord knows how to meet it. And when there's a need, the Lord knows how to help it. And how that he came and he made himself available to this woman. Maybe this woman didn't have the means by which to come to Galilee or some of these other places where the Lord's ministry had been. And so instead, he came to where she was at. Now, aren't you glad today that the Lord came to where you were at? Hallelujah. We could all say glory to his name this morning, that he came to where I was at one day. So we see the Lord's coming. Then we see the Lord's concealment, and we think about how that he came to this place of Tyre and Sidon as wanting to be secluded from the religious crowd that was thronging him at this time, but there was no hiding the Lord. Amen. I believe it's John Phillips that said Moses could be hid, Elijah could be hid, but there is no hiding Jesus. He could not be hid. You get the Lord in your life, you get the Lord, get filled with the Spirit, get the Lord moving around in your life, he won't be hidden in your life either. Amen. And then we talked about the fact that the lady's condition, her distance. She made good use of this opportunity of the Lord being near. She sought the Lord while he could be found. While the Lord was close, she sought him. And that is so vitally important today, is that while the Lord is near unto us, that we seek him out and that we find him. And so her distance, she made good use of the fact that the Lord was near. But then we see her designation. Here in these verses, the Lord calls her a dog. She's a Gentile dog. She's a Syrophoenician. She's a Grecian. And so she has no basis upon national right to come and approach the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we'll see and what we'll find out is that she doesn't allow any of that to stop her. Because when you get desperate, you don't care about those things anymore. When you get desperate, all you're interested in is getting help from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you're concerned about. So we see her designation as a dog. But now here's something interesting. Even though her designation is a dog, even though she's a Gentile, we see, and we've seen in Matthew 15, that she approaches him like a Jew. She cries out to him, "O Lord, thou son of David." She approaches him on the basis, she uses Jewish language to approach him. Perhaps she had heard that that was the way to come to him. Those were the words to use. But she's putting aside anything else. She's just looking for some help from the Lord. And when you get desperate for the Lord, you put aside all of the religious rituals. You'll put aside anything else. You don't care about nationality. All you care about is trying to find the Lord in your life. Now, look at it. We see her daughter. Her daughter was a young daughter, according to verse 25. It was a young daughter. And we see that the devil is no respecter of age. He doesn't care if your kid's 5 years old. He'll ruin a five-year-old's life just like he'll ruin a 50-year-old's life. He don't care. He'll try and destroy any life that he can. It was a young daughter, and we also see that it was just a devil. It was not many devils, but it was a devil that was used here in her life. And we've got to be so careful because without a doubt, this young daughter had been so influenced by the godly, by the ungodly paganism of Tyre and Sidon that her mother had unwittingly allowed into the house that had caused her a lot of these problems. And so we got to be so careful. All right, so this gets to her desperation. This is where we want to get to preach. Now, we said on yesterday's radio broadcast that when you get desperate, number one, it will cause you to abandon all others. It will cause you to abandon all others. Now, the disciples, what'd they say? The disciples said, "Lord, she cries after, send us away." That's what religion always says. The religion always says, send her away. Send her away. Them disciples said, "There's nothing we can do for this woman. She's of the wrong nationality. She's of the wrong people. We can't help her, Lord. Send her away." But I'm glad the Lord in the end did not send her away. Hallelujah. So we see that when you get desperate. Now, even though they said send her away, this lady didn't care. She wasn't going to be stopped. She needed the Lord, friend. And when you need the Lord, when you're desperate about something in your life, particularly when it's something as precious to you as your youngins, and I made this point earlier in the week, I can put up with a lot of things, but when it's my youngins, when my youngins get involved, all of a sudden I get really super serious about it. I get super serious when it's my kids involved. And so here, her kids, her daughter is precious to her, and so all of a sudden she's really, really serious, and she starts getting desperate about what's going on in her life. So when you get desperate, it'll cause you to abandon all others. You don't care what people think about you. If you've got to crawl and weep and cry your way to an altar and stay all day long in order for the Lord to hear you, in order for the Lord to help you, you don't care. You're desperate. You don't care what other people think. You won't let some long tongue Baptist stop you from getting a hold of God. You won't allow that because you're desperate. You want to get help from the Lord, so you're desperate about it, so you don't care what other people think. It's always comical to me. People say, well, I've really got a burden about this or that or the other, and somebody can say something to them about it, and they'll completely jump ship and quit and not even talk about it no more. Their tears are gone. What happened? What happened to you weeping? What happened to you crying? What happened to your seriousness about things in your life? I mean, there's some of you listening to me this morning. You got youngins that are wayward. Why ain't you weeping and crying over them? Why aren't you getting serious with God? I mean, this thing's wrapping up. It won't be long. Why don't you get serious with the Lord Jesus Christ? Getting desperate will cause you to abandon all others. Getting desperate will cause you to accept the truth. You know what she said? She just agreed with the truth. The Lord said, you're a dog. She said, that's the truth, Lord. Now, most of us, you know, we get called a dog and we say, no, now, wait a minute, we're a pretty good person. Now, wait a minute, we've done this, we've done that. It's sickening to me to hear some people pray almost as if the Lord owes them something. Lord, now you know I've done this, and I've been faithful here, and I did this, and I gave this. The Lord don't owe you nothing, friend. Not one thing does He owe you. Anything that you get is by grace and mercy. And we ought to approach Him on such account. And when you approach Him desperate, you know what will happen? All of a sudden, you will agree with the truth of this Bible. Amen. There won't be no nitpicking what the preacher said. There won't be no nitpicking what the Word of God says. There won't be all of this disagreement. There won't be all of this arguing. You'll even accept the truth about yourself. That's what she did. That's what this woman did. She got desperate for the Lord, and she accepted the truth about herself. She said, you're right, Lord. I ain't nothing but a dirty old dog. I don't even deserve your help, and you hadn't even helped me, God. But, Lord, help me anyway. I don't deserve it. I'm not good, but, Lord, would you help me anyway? Being desperate, that'll make you agree with the truth. And then the last thing I pointed out on yesterday's radio broadcast is that being desperate, when you're desperate, adversity will not stop you. Now, this woman, she faced a silent Savior. He didn't say a thing back to her. Not one thing did he say back to her. Silence. I'll be honest with you. There's times that I've prayed and it seemed like heaven was brass. And I'd pray and weep and cry and ask God to do something. It seemed like He wasn't ever going to hear. But you know what I found out? If you'll just stay with it, keep on knocking that importunity. Are you hearing me? If you stay with it, the Lord will hear and answer your prayer. She wasn't going to give up. The Savior was silent. She was insulted. All of these things were happening. There's all kinds of reasons for her to quit, all kinds of reasons for her to give up, and yet she stayed with it. She was desperate. And then let me say this just before we go off the air, when you get desperate, you'll appreciate the small things. She said, Lord, I don't have to have a whole loaf. Just give me some crumbs here, Lord. She said, Lord, you ain't got to do everything for me. Just do a little something. Make this ease up just a little bit, Lord. You ain't got to give me much, Lord. Just help in a little bit of situation here. You see, when you get desperate, you don't want everything. You're satisfied just a little something. That's the position she was in. Are you desperate today? You desperate for the Lord? Well, I trust the broadcast this week's been a blessing to you. Until next week, this is Brad LeBoon, the pastor of Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you. It's our prayer.